When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Travis and Gable are a dyad in the luminaries.
The luminaries are, we're a polycule? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I'm just saying more Star Wars things.
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to say, why does that make me angry? I'm triggered in some way.
I feel mad. Man, my mom called me today, like, upset about Star Wars. Like, for real.
That's great. So funny.
She was just like, what about all the stuff that happened on the casino planet? What about all, what about those little children at the end? What are they going to do with those? And I was like, yeah, mom, you're right.
I want that kids. Kid.
That child.
Broom boy.
Broom boy.
So Jonnet takes off out of the captain's quarters. He's going to make a beeline for the furnace real quick. Just to who's attending the furnace?
Let me pull a luminary for that. The maiden. So I think Jane is probably tending the furnace.
Okay. Jane. Yeah. We're not trying to fight our descent anymore, okay? We're just going to ride it out. We're making an emergency landing.
Okay, gotcha. So I will work on maintaining. Are we doing a slow decline or a sharp decline?
Well, we don't really know yet. The list is kind of happening faster than we expected, so let's go with a good old-fashioned middle of the road.
I will keep our course. I'll just wait for the captain's call. Thanks, kid.
It might come from one of us that's not the captain, but I love your enthusiasm. And then he runs up to the wheel.
Yeah, I think right now probably Nodos is on the helm.
I had an idea.
Oh, yes.
It might needs be. It might be very cloudy. Would it make sense to have two birds guiding like headlights down? For Jonnet to like follow,
yeah.
Like we have like little lamps to help guide the ship down.
So I really like that idea. I think Travis should be coming with me. Yeah. Ooh, good. That's perfect. That solves it. That's exactly what it has to be. So yeah, there's so much rain and just so much thick, heavy mist that you can barely see at all. John, at first, you arrive at the helm, and Nodos is there. Water is beating down on him. Nodos is like a pretty tall, gangly guy, so he is bracing himself right now with a rope draped off one of the lines, really struggling to maintain his balance.
John runs up to him. A change of plans, ND. He takes the bandana off.
Oh.
And then he's like, you mind if I cut in?
So taking the bandana off, I've got a question. I mean, it is raining right now, so it could have weighed down your hair. Are you exposing your eye to Nodos?
No.
Okay.
Right, it's just the bandana is off, and I'm just kind of like asking to cut in and have some space.
The captain has ordered this?
The captain has ordered that I am to be at the wheel.
Nodos eyes you for a hard second and then looks like he comes to a decision. So it is. And he'll step away. He'll take his spear and plant it in the ground so that he can like watch over you while you're doing this.
All right. Do me a favor and keep your head up, okay? Just make sure that those birds are flying and giving us some light, okay?
Birds.
And then I feel like at that moment, the birds like swoop by him.
Let's cut over to Gable and Travis, who have, like, Gable, what do you say to Travis to get him to...
Grabs him by the scruff and is just pulling him down, down to the birds.
There's no need. There is no need.
Get on.
I like that Gable has, like, are you dragging him or are you holding him up? I feel like Gable is physically powerful enough to do either.
I love the image of Travis as like a little kitty cat just being held up by his coat.
You're like a little baby. So just so rude to me.
Well,
and honestly, it's uncalled. Well, sometimes it's nice to, you know, be carried around. You could be nicer about it.
Yeah, I feel like there's a little bit of a struggle at first, but he kind of relaxes into it.
Well, you know, when you pick up a cat by the scruff of its neck, they just, like, go
like,
limp.
They just...
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Very resigned to it.
You've bested me.
And I think what we have for the birds, we have, like, a particular harness that has a lamp on, like, a pretty stiff piece of metal that, like, bounces, but it, like, it's specifically for bird riding at night. You're not supposed to use it all that much because it doesn't provide that much light, but they're... We need to outfit two of the birds with that harness with a little lamp.
That's really cool. So you've brought Travis down to this lower deck, and I think you're rigging up the birds. Travis, do you know what to do?
I think so.
Yeah.
So, I'm not happy about it.
None of us are, really.
I like the idea. Yeah, you're rigging up these birds in parallel. I think, yeah, continuing this conversation about rudeness and how you're being treated in this situation.
After all I've done for you.
What have you done?
I helped you win the bird thing at the last place.
That's because you liked it.
The bird thing at the last place.
Sure. Whatever. Do you feel like you can do this? Can you ride this bird?
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Of all of the people here, I'm the only one who is a bird. So, you know, I think I can ride a bird just the same way that, you know, you could probably ride a big idiot.
You are the worst person I know.
Well, good thing half the time.
Goodbye.
I'm not a person. So
Gable jumped under the chair.
Yeah, kicks open, and I think it is much more difficult for you to open these like gates for the birds, the hatch. I think you really, really have to kick it very forcefully to open it up.
That's a big oops from me. Oops.
So question, who is riding which bird?
I will Metatron. Be riding the best one.
Which so Gable's got Metatron, and are you going to take Lucas or Flea?
Lucas.
Don't do that to him. He's too...
You're Peacock. Good.
Don't take the beautiful boy out.
Why?
It's too rainy.
During a storm?
I really like the idea. One of the things that we've said about Lucas is that Lucas really likes to think that he's a warbird.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I Poor think guy. Flea is kind of a baby and doesn't like the rain. But Lucas
is ready.
Lucas always thinks he can handle it.
I think Lucas and Travis are kind of kindred spirits.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
But Travis, you don't have the advantage of Gable's titanic strength. So I want to know how you're getting your gate open.
Lucas, could you open the gate, please?
What role would this
be? Wait. I'm going to ask the captain to do it.
I don't fucking know. Role?
Oh, you can ask the captain to do it. That's right.
You brought him down. Oh, yeah. God.
I think he followed us. He's worried about me.
He doesn't. I mean, honestly, Johnny, like, you're not far enough away that you couldn't command the captain to come down to the lower deck.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
That's radical. And if you make contact with the heart, a few minutes later, like, I think we'll cut to the captain who's out the window and, like, suddenly looks up to attention. He bursts through the door very confidently and walks out onto the ship, like, into the interior of the ship, and starts pushing past people as quickly as he can. He's, like, throwing people aside. I think we see Plyth, who is still, like, kind of getting over the rope earlier, like, looking a little oozy, and he just, like, throws Plyth out of the way and onto somebody. Like, Daisy and Fuentes have hammocks in the ship that are very close to one another, and Plyth gets thrown on top of them and kind of tangled up in both of their hammocks. And he's going to have problems with that later, for sure.
A wonderful slash fiction was born.
But the captain makes his way down to the lower deck. And as soon as he enters the room, like, there is an aura and authority that he carries that even in this tense situation where the ship is listing and suddenly everybody is to attention and moving to whatever lines they can, and perhaps some more morose soul are, like, trying to get their things in order and preparing for a crash, the captain enters the room, and everybody who is on the lowest level with the birds looks and sees that the captain is out. The captain confidently strides over to the gate that is in front of Lucas and, like, easily pushes it open. There is a mighty crack, and you can see huge pieces of the cement left over from the Skamalic just fall off into the mist.
Thank you, Captain. I appreciate your help.
The captain winks.
All right, Lucas, let's do it.
Yeah. We both did it. You did it, I did it, Lucas, and then Casey's going to put another sound effect on top of it.
Yeah, and Casey, remember when
Casey,
you put
Casey, can
in,
you go ahead and put this in? Thank you, Casey.
Thank you.
Well, I'll do one, too.
In, oh, yeah, well, Johnny. Good, cool. Good. So you've got a lot of options, Casey, and remember to pitch down any bird sounds that we insert into the show, because they're really big birds.
Good call. Let's fly.
Ah, baritone Barry, of course,
all
is doing
birded
his thing. So Lucas and Metatron pierce the mist surrounding the ship, and there are chaotic winds whipping around them. Gable, I feel like you're very comfortable and at home in this situation. Travis, this situation is unideal. But really what I want to focus on first is at the helm with Jonnet. Jonnet, I need you to make a star watching check.
Okay. At this point, I would like Jonnet to open his eye. I feel like in the time since Bujaneeth, he's got to have been, like, practicing, like, finding his center, practicing opening up the eye. I want to see if he can put that to good use.
Yeah, I think so too. And I added an ability to the game for you.
Oh, hello.
For this star watching and specifically opening your eye. So you now have an ability called See the Path. Your connection to the divine allows you to examine the structure of the universe and contemplate the results of your actions with perfect clarity. Once you have control, you can spend an amount of strain equal to the significance of your task to open your eye and observe the universe in full detail and splendor. This will enable you to use unfamiliar skills and/or add a bonus to a check that you are attempting. So you have been star watching, contemplating this navigation for a while. I think you're in a tense, life-threatening situation. While you don't have full control over your eye, I think you have enough, and especially because it's an important moment, I do think your eye will open for you.
Okay.
I am going to say it will take you 4 strain to upgrade this check.
Okay, so taking that 4 strain and upgrading that, Jonet's on the wheel. He like looks up at the sky, and of course he can't really see anything because it's super cloudy. So he closes his eyes and then he opens up his third eye. We see his view again, and instead of clouds, it's like complete, like a dark starry sky in like perfect view, and he's using that to sort of cross-reference like where he is in relation to what he remembers from the map and guide him to...
That rules. Yeah. That rules, yeah. You're like seeing the stars above you and like the geometric divine will of the universe around you, simulating the experience of your own presence, seeing a world that is otherwise obscured. That's incredibly dope. Please roll that check. If you've upgraded it, your check is going to be 2 yellow dice and a green die. And I think it's going to be hard. So 3 purples.
Cool. And as this is happening, Jonet has started to key into the things that were going on in Bujaneeth that may have triggered him. So he's trying to like keep a little bit of a rhythm. He's got the helm with both hands, but with his left foot he's kind of like tapping out like a basic rhythm to just like ground himself to.
Oh,
2 yellow,
great.
A green, and 3 purple.
3 purple, yeah.
Great. Yeah. Okay, that is 3 successes and 1 threat.
Okay. So I think you know which way to go. And you know the amount of coal that the ship needs. The only problem is right now, especially because what you've done with closing your eyes and relying on your third eye has made it so that the lights in front of the ship are going to be less necessary.
Okay.
I think that one of the guide sails on the side of the ship is stuck.
Okay.
So I think you are going to be successful in this. Like you turn the wheel and the ship doesn't pull out of the list in the way that it needs to. In fact, it's drifting in the wrong direction and you're trying to compensate. But you know, like the information just comes to you that the guide sail is jammed and people are going to have to clear it or compensate for it. Thankfully, you happen to have 2 people out on birds in front of the ship right now, providing lanterns that Jonet doesn't really need.
I think through like his closed regular eyes and like with his closed eyes still concentrating, he yells back to Nodos, "Hey, Indy, we've got a guide sail that's giving us some trouble. Can you signal to Travis and Gable to free it up?"
Nodos nods, and I think he'll spring over the railing of the ship down onto the main deck.
Cool.
And run towards the front of the ship where there are some guide lanterns set up, hooded lanterns with mirrored plate backs. And he is going to flick and like opening and closing the lid to signal to Gable and Travis that something is amiss. Who among you two notices the signal first?
Should we roll for it?
I mean, we can. We can roll vigilance.
Let's do that. Because I think it could feasibly be either of us.
I think so, too.
So my vigilance is not great, though.
Mine is also not great. Are we just rolling against each other or like the...
Yeah, I think you're just rolling against each other, kind of like initiative.
Just...
Oh, okay.
I got blank.
I got 4 advantages.
I got nothing. I got a rock.
Okay. So I think what happens, Gable is very focused on trying to float their bird up and keep it visible in all of this chaos because like in Gable's mind, they are guiding this ship, and their job is to be as visible to Jonnet as possible. That's a lot of you not looking at the rest of the ship and just trying to maintain a stable altitude as you can. Mm-hmm. Travis, I think you just hate this situation, and you're so full of hate, you're just trying to concentrate on how much you hate it, which does mean, like, occasionally you were looking back to just shoot a disdainful look at the ship behind you, and you do notice the signal. And I'm going to rule that pretty much everybody understands basic ship signals, so we don't have to worry about everybody being a big himbo about everything. So... yeah, you look back and there is a problem that's going on one of the guide sails. What do you do?
Gable.
What?
Ha.
I'm going to go fix a sail.
What?
I'm going to go fix the sail.
What?
Shut up.
Lucas, let's go fix the sail.
All right. Gotta pitch it down.
Sure thing, baby.
I think Travis will fix it, and then maybe also use this as an opportunity to just kind of get back on the ship.
Okay, that could be more life-threatening than you think it is. Great. So that is going to be a riding check.
Okay. Boy, really, really making me wear out these dice.
You've rolled more now, I think, than you ever have in all combined of this campaign and Star Wars campaign combined.
How hard is this?
Four times.
I think this is three purple.
Okay. Well, well, well. That is one advantage.
Just one advantage.
Bazinga. One advantage.
I think this is a serious problem. You go and look at the guide sail, and you can see that the heavy fungus has grown up the side of the ship and started, like, intermingled with some of the pulleys on the guide sail. So it's going to take a lot of up-close work to free them. I think if you were to simply attach a rope to this guide sail, then you'd be able to pull it and move it, but you'd have to basically ride down with it and keep it moving in turn with the rest of the ship. Alternatively, you could jump off Lucas and pull out a knife or something and try and chip away at the Skamalic that has attached itself.
What would those two checks be? One would be riding, I assume.
Yes, one would be riding, and the other would...
debarnacling?
Yeah, the debarnacling skill that's always been a part of this game.
I have 8 yellow in debarnacling.
I think it's either athletics or coordination to, because essentially you'd then be jumping onto the lines of the ship.
I'm going to go with coordination because Papa's coordinated.
I mean, that's the thing a wild hero would do. So that's extremely cool. And I encourage you to do it.
What's the difficulty here?
Difficulty here. I'm still going to make it hard. So it's going to be purple, 3 purple.
Okay. Thank you for your patience. 1 success and 3 threats.
All right.
Okay. I think you are able to pull Lucas up to the side of the ship. And describe for me the moment when Travis jumps off of this bird and onto the lines of the ship.
I think Travis is honestly used to doing this sort of thing, and I think he's a little more comfortable with it than most people, because more than once, I think he has jumped off of the ship as a man when he knows he's about to turn into a bird.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. So he's not, like, afraid of this sort of thing. Even though he's not about to turn into a bird, he's just not afraid. And so he like leans down and says, okay, I'm gonna take care of this. You go back out with your dad and your brother, and you know, finish up that. And if I need you, I'll call you. Okay. And hey. I know that.
Deborah.
Okay.
I know it sucks. This is not ideal for any of us, especially not someone like you or I. But when we're done, we'll get nice and warm. We'll curl up by the fire and we'll have a nice time. Okay? Take care. And then he kind of pats him on the side. You know how you like kind of will slap like a horse or a...
Yeah.
Yeah, he does one of those.
Give a little thump.
Give him a friendly horse slap.
Yeah. And jumps off and like on the way down just kind of grabs the rope and slides down and kind of rappels down the like mast or whatever to like the spot where he'll need to start.
Yeah, I think you jump down onto the lines that are extending onto the guide sails, and you grab the guideline, and then you slide down to some of the lines that make up the mechanics of this complex device. And as you land on them, you can see Skamalic cement just like crust off, and it's blown away. You see that there is lots of thick Skamalic everywhere around you, and then you realize the thing that you remember, the thing that was not important to you, but the thing that you liked, that you left behind in Bujaneeth, was a knife.
Come
that's
on.
Your threat.
No.
All right. What you gonna do now, dummy?
I need to carve your name. Why do you have your name in every booth and every bar? Oh, goodness.
His fingers. His little fingers.
I would like to entreat a luminary, please.
Absolutely. This rules.
You're going to make me play the game. I'm going to play the fucking game.
Oh, God. We should have made him play the game a long time ago.
Now he's playing more game per game than any of us.
My GPG is through the roof.
This is Johnny's playingest arc so far. It's James. Welcome to the mid-roll. I sure hope you're enjoying this week's episode, because honestly, I don't know what's in it. I want everyone to give a big thanks to Casey Tony for assembling this episode, the episode before, and next week's episode, because right now I am on vacation. Before we get back to the action, I want to take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon. Ewan Goodfield, thank you so much. How Talt Wood, thank you very much. Heather Ann West, thank you so much. Furious Mango, thank you. Zach Fonville, thank you very much. Joshua Fairies, thank you. Tevis Westoby, thank you very much. David L. Quinton, thank you so much. Andrew Blair, thank you. Corey Michael Lee, thank you. Jules Petraka, thank you so much. Noah, thank you very much. Scott Anderson, thank you. Gregory Kugel, thank you very much. And Zachary Solis, thank you. Thanks again to all of our supporters on Patreon. Without you, we wouldn't be able to make this show. And folks, I love making this show. Remember, right now, if you are one of our $5 or more backers, you're getting the special Skyjack side series treat of Blimpjacks, a little something we cooked up with the folks over at System Mastery, combining Skyjacks and Blimpleggers. If you haven't already, you should definitely check it out. The first episode is free to everyone, but the rest of the series is only available in the Secret Archive. Now, with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky. Let's see. And the luminary that we pull is the Butcher. Oofa doofa.
Butch butch.
So this entreating the luminary nice. In this way, asking that luminary to intercede on your fate, you, I think, will be able to do it, but it has to go somewhat in the way of the luminary's like own designs here. So let me pull up the Butcher's themes, even though we kind of already know a lot about their themes.
Good meats, fresh eats, the Butcher.
Violence, dread, and misfortune. So how do you make this, I guess, violent?
What time is it now?
We started this, I will say, late afternoon. Whatever choices you make, you're going to have to live with for at least a couple of hours.
Can I... Tell me if this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Can I try to force myself to change into either a bird, because I could like peck and scratch at it, or like a coyote, because I don't think a coyote could maneuver as well as the bird to like get up in the mix, but a coyote could also bite and scratch and stuff.
I really, really like this, because you're part, I guess what you're asking is if you can become a middle Animorphs cover.
Oh wow, that's not what I was thinking, but that's even better.
Yeah.
Oh, like just paws.
Oh no.
Or just claws.
Ooh, that kind of opens up like a cool skill set of like halfway Travis.
I think
Doghead man.
I think if it happens though, it's painful. Because the transformation is painful, but like being stuck like that, I think that there's like the struggle of having to like stay in between, I think, is like painful and draining.
Yeah.
It's also I mean, the process is the most painful part, and to stop halfway through the process, like your body hasn't corrected itself to the point where it's not agonizing.
So here's how I think I'm going to rule this and the way this works, because this opens up a lot of cool possibilities and I think will actually help us solidify some of these luminary mechanics. Travis, you are a person who's actually very in touch with the luminaries, these forces and stories that guide the world of Sphere. I think you know, kind of instinctually, which luminaries are listening to you when. So you get in this situation where you realize your knife has been left behind and you cast out to see which luminaries are listening, and the butcher is an incredibly unpleasant luminary to deal with, and you essentially, in order to have the Butcher bless this moment and help you do something that you've never done before in your life, you're going to have to offer a prayer to them. And a prayer to the Butcher, I think it is a nasty, hateful, violent thing.
Oh.
So
prayer to the Butcher. Pray to the Butcher.
What is your offering to the Butcher? What is your prayer to the Butcher? And I think that will allow you to make the role that you're going to need in order to do this wild thing.
Well, I feel like it would be not necessarily like a verbal prayer so much as like the butcher wants an act of violence, I think.
I believe so as well, yeah.
Is it... Because I'm trying to think of like where I am, and I'm like up in the rigging and stuff, right?
Well, you're not up in the rigging. So imagine this is a guide sail. So you're actually on the side of the ship.
Okay.
The way skyships navigate, part of it is these little fins that are on the side of the ship. So you're hanging off the side of the ship on the lines attached to one of these little fins.
I'm trying to think of like there's not a lot near me. Can I call Lucas back?
I think so.
I want Lucas to like peck at me or claw at me. Like, I want Lucas to wound me somehow.
Yeah. Oh. I think you can do that. I think maybe, like, you've jumped down onto the lines, and instead of moving back forward, Lucas... let's say Lucas doesn't have as much confidence in you.
No,
as...
Yeah, Lucas definitely didn't leave. Absolutely not.
Lucas is like, I'm going to wait for this idiot to fall down so I can save them.
Fair enough.
So Lucas is there watching you, and I'm going to say, I may regret this sentence later. Travis has a bit of a way with animals. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that already a little bit in Bujaneeth with Ferdinand. So... I think you can probably communicate to Lucas what you need from him.
I want him to injure me in a way that is gruesome enough without being sort of problematic or triggering, you know?
Yeah. Well, what we'll do then is we will have a, like, there's this moment of eye contact between you and Lucas.
Can he peck my eyes out?
Oofa doofa. Mm. I think... Well, I think that does borderline on the problematic and triggering area. But, we can
I think we're just
this.
An eyeball podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, we've already had that warning so many times at the top of different episodes. What's
what else
another
is a bird going to do? Or, you know, the only other thing is, like...
Birds got spurs, you know? Like, Lucas might be, like, have metal spurs.
Yeah, so,
as,
I
like,
mean,
a protective
Lucas could,
weapon.
There are a lot of different things that could happen. Like, I don't think it's bad, depending on how we handle it. Like, we just have to not linger on it. The other thing that we could do is Travis needs to be injured in a way that also is not going to hurt his ability to continue climbing on these lines. Though another thing is you're going to be replacing one of your parts with an animal part. You could just grow in the animal part super quick.
So what I, so that's what I was just going to say is what if Lucas like claws off one of my hands or arms and then the animal part grows in that.
Oh, so you have to lose it before you, okay.
It's a prayer to the butcher. This is probably the reason that Travis has never tried this before.
So do I want a puppy hand or maybe what's the most effective tool that I could have? Talons.
Talons, I think, could be very effective. Honestly, I think a coyote paw wouldn't be bad. They're good diggers, right? I think they dig up rabbit warrens and whatnot.
How can I climb with just one because a talon I could grip with. I can't really grip with a coyote paw. Or are we getting too in the weeds right now?
Well, because it is like an animorph thing, it doesn't need to be like the proper talon, you know? It could be like a gross mix of man and beast.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's get coyote hand in there. I'm not a coyote too often. And we just got, I'm done with birds. Birds are canceled. I'm a different bird and that bird's a coyote.
So yeah, you've offered a prayer to the butcher and you're sacrificing an arm to do it. I don't think we need a primal role for this. I think enough has been done in this circumstance. So there's a moment where you make eye contact with Lucas. And I think it's of a different quality than even the other circumstances that you talk to Lucas. You're connecting with Lucas on a way that only animal to animal could really understand. And there is Lucas, like, I think maybe their posture changes, like something about him, like he understands what you need him to do. And there's like a calmness that overtakes the bird. And I think we zoom out we just get a different angle and lightning flashes and we can see a silhouette of a bird, you know, reaching its head towards Travis and grabbing that arm in its powerful beak. And there's probably a scream that accompanies it. And then that scream continues. as Travis slowly, in place of your limb, you grow the mutated combination of a human hand and a coyote's paw.
Ugh.
Ooh.
Nasty. God, the fingers, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, they're like really long, like paw fingers. Ugh.
Blah. Oh.
Jonathan, I think we come to a point where, like, after a couple harrowing minutes of navigating in this weather, like, with the guide sail finally, like, opening itself up in the right way, the listing stops, but the storm is growing more and more intense. You can either see or feel, depending on which set of eyes you're using, Gable struggling to keep Metatron stable in the churn of this storm ahead of you. You also, I think, just because your eye is open and in tune with the universe, you feel a tremendous amount of pain off of Travis. You can't leave your post, but I think like that knowledge might trouble you. And so you need to find another solution. You get the feeling deep within yourself that you can cast a divine spell right now, and it might be able to change your circumstances, but you'll need help to do it. I just want you to describe for me how you reach out to Gable to get this help.
Yeah, so I think before, Jonet has been like seeing like a clear sky, and he's only kind of been focused on, I think earlier in the show we've just established how when he connects to the divine light, he has this access to like seeing the vectors of like where things are going within the world and getting insight into like, oh, I should follow this yellow line. That's going to take me the best route possible for this. So he's been kind of focusing on like the vector of like the ship in its entirety, which is kind of daunting. But I think in the revelation that he's had, like having this sudden feeling of feeling Metatron kind of falter, feeling Travis do something. I'm not even sure Jonet knows exactly what's going on with Travis. He just knows it's painful. All of a sudden, a vector just kind of pops up from Jonet's eye to Gable, and in this moment, he just knows exactly what to do in that he just reaches up and grabs it with his hand. And I think in doing that, he like connects himself to Gable in a split second and transfers the message that he's trying to get across.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we've established that this divine light is a two-way street of some kind. I don't know.
I think it's not like a direct message, but okay. It's an instinctual connection, yeah, that is between the two of you, where I think Gable will be aware of your presence and thoughts, though they might not be super clear. And for the convenience of this scene, I think they'll be able to coordinate with you. Essentially, what I need from the two of you is a divine check. So it's going to take two strain from each of you.
Is there... is there a way to like make this even, because I think this is super dope, but I don't want it to like, I'm wondering if like, is it too thought out already? Could it be more rough of just like impulses of like left, right, or something's wrong?
Oh yeah, sure, sure. We can definitely do something like that.
Yeah.
Is this divine magic or divine knowledge or?
Divine magic. And I think Gable will have actually Gable roll the check, but you'll both need to spend strain for it.
What's the difficulty?
How many
difficulty
again?
Is going to be hard.
So that's three?
Yes. And you have the option at this point of either entreating a luminary, which we've now, I think, solidified the mechanics of you potentially having to submit prayers to luminaries, which I truly, truly love, or making some kind of sacrifice, either physical by spending blood or more abstract, like the things that we've seen Jonet and Gable do with Gable's hair and Jonet's entire memory of Hip.
But you said that I'm doing the check?
You're going to be doing the check. I'm just offering you the chance to upgrade if you feel like there, you might not make it.
I don't. The thing is, like, story wise, I don't think Gable knows what's happening.
Exactly. So
I don't think there's any reason why they would entreat anything. I don't think it makes sense.
That's fair.
They're just receiving something. And also, I've bumped up to rank four on Divine.
Oh,
so,
Jesus. Okay. Yeah, wow. Yeah, you're going to be fine.
We'll see.
Do I have chance to take a bio break for like a second?
Yeah, you can take a quick bio.
I'll mute it so you can't hear, but Casey will still hear.
Good. Yeah. Oh, I like this.
This is a complete wash. No, it's a failure.
Nope, it's worse.
Nope.
Okay, so it's one failure is the result of the check?
A failure, yes.
Okay. Gable, for a minute, you feel this connection, and it gives you like prickles of phantom limb on the wings you no longer have. It's uncomfortable, like they're twitching or flapping. And I think instead of moving into it, like this spell requires, you reject it. And because the spell is going to fail, I think you've lost the strain from it. Gable, physically, you feel very uncomfortable. Jonnet, you feel the drain of having not been able to cast the spell. But mm-hmm. you also know that if the spell is not cast, your ship is in for a world of trouble. So, Jonnet, I think at this point, you have the ability to entreat a luminary to try and gain success, but it is going to take a real prayer from you in order to do it.
Then I'm going to get on both knees and I'm going to put my hand together and I'm going to offer a prayer to the luminary. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. And I have pulled the river. So the river, I think, is a pretty good thematic match for this scene generally, as it is about steep rewards that you have to go through a lot of trial in order to claim. The river's themes are destruction, challenge, and separation. So it doesn't have to be now, but you can offer, you're offering the luminary, this luminary a prayer. So you are going to have to do something in line with the river's demands and themes. What do you think you're going to do? Or do you go, I'll do anything in order for the spell to work. We'll have the spell work and we'll come back to you later and see what that prayer is.
Real quick, just remind me, I'm trying to get Gable to...
Well, you were trying to get Gable to cast a spell for you.
Right.
That like, you're like, I don't have the ability to cast this spell. But you tried to create a connection to Gable. It didn't quite work. Right. Gable was like, someone's trying to control my body, or I've got a weird feeling. Get the fuck out of here. And so the spell didn't work, which means now it's all on your shoulders, because you know, you see the paths and lines of the universe that if this spell is not cast, the ship is in real danger.
Okay. What's the main like threat? We're not listing as much. Are we about to hit something?
Yeah, it could be that bad. Like the winds and storm has really picked up in a big, severe way. You can see Gable is already kind of struggling to control Metatron. People could be blown from the deck of the ship. The ship could crash into a mountain or something and be severely damaged. You really can't see too much of the world around you. So I think you see a lot of potential ill fates.
Gotcha. So we don't know the concrete threat, but we just know that it's going to be bad.
You know, there are enough threats out there that this spell would drastically reduce the number of those threats.
Okay. We'll figure it out in post. I will plead to the river to guide us to safety, and I will ask the river to name their price.
God, I love that. Cool. I have to add that to my notes because gotta make this a big fucking deal.
Good
in the past, we've allowed luminaries to just overturn results, which is fine, but there should be more of a game mechanic to it. And folks, I like this. John
folks,
opposed the
games,
river.
Big fan. Love to game.
So Jonnet, you feel like, I think your eye bursts open wider, basically as wide as it felt when the Mariner was fighting you. Mm-hmm. And you feel this connection to the universe. And for a short period, you understand on a very deep level that you are part of the universe. You're part of this large divine organism. And much like the way you control your fingers and toes or the eye on your forehead, you control the universe. And you open your eye. And with that, the clouds above you open as well. And there is a break in the storm. And a beam of light comes down from the afternoon sun and shines on Nordia, the town in front of you, as the storm pulls away and the winds clear up. Gable, you, having very recently felt that phantom limb pang, and now having a few more feathers on your shoulder than you previously did, understand that a minor miracle has just occurred, and someone has broken the storm. As the world clears in front of you, and I think maybe even a hint of a rainbow comes to hang over Nordia. And that's session, folks.
Ah.
Nordia.
Did I go through all that for nothing then?
What?
The bio break?
No. Changing into a half dog.
Oh, no. Without you, you wouldn't have a guide sail, so you'd still be listing and kind of crashing into the ground.
You're welcome.
Boy, Jonnet's like a little baby god.
I love that, but I'm also like, oh, baby god, it's big responsibility. Baby god's a big responsibility.
So strong. Such a strong boy.
You're going to owe the river, and that's going to be, oh boy, I'm very excited.
Oopsie-doodle.
Especially the river is going to make you have to do something very not smart.
Horny.
Man.
ABH. Always be horny.
We return once again to the long line of prospective applicants on the ground in front of the skyship Uhuru.
Okay, next applicant, please get on a bird and fly up here from the ground to the ship. We'll be seeing you now.
A short, stocky, bald man who appears to be very heavy set with tan skin, hairy arms, and like a wild crown of hair that surrounds his bald patch flies up on a sparrow that looks very beleaguered and tired as it drops him down. He makes his way over to the table and drops off his headshot and resume.
Hello.
Hello there.
Okay. Oh.
I see that you are interested in joining up with the famous crew of the Uhuru. Go ahead and state your name and your deal.
Yeah, I'm interested in joining the crew of the Uhuru, so to speak. My name and my deal sort of go hand in hand.
Okay, well, lay it on us.
They call me the Bird Pervert.
Okay. Well. We do already have one of those.
Pretty sure we do. We're all bird perverts in our own way.
Well, you've never met a bird pervert like me, because I am in the middle. This is a research that I'm doing for a stage play that I'm drafting.
So then you're not really a bird pervert. You're just...
Sir? I am a bird pervert. I have developed digital feather technology that I will be drafting onto a huge cast of singing and dancing birds that will one by one introduce themselves to the audience with their own solo song. And you'd think, God, there are a lot of birds in this movie. We can't possibly have a song for each individual one, but we do, and each one is hornier than the last.
All right.
You're hired.
You've got it.
Yeah.
Sir, I'm going to extend my hand, and I'm going to expect you to shake it.
Oh, I wouldn't touch
because
him.
Because you're hired.
I wouldn't touch him. Jonnet.
Don't you do it.
Okay,
I will shake the hand, but I'll warn you, my hand is very damp with liquids.
Ew.
Sir, I'm gonna just exchange one solitary nod at you. Please just return it and know that you're hired.
All righty.
I'm just so I'm excited.
Oh, that's even right. The nod was perverted. Oh, it's the longest nod I've ever seen.
I was thinking about cloacas.
I just think it's really.
That's how I pronounce it.
It's brave, so honestly, that we have so many times where we don't know what people's deals are. To someone to come out and say, this is my thing, I want to tell everyone about it, and you guys won't have to struggle for 5 minutes to figure it out. It's just really refreshing, and I just want to commend you for it. It's nice.
It is nice.
Well, I'm so happy to be around the ship. I'll be looking at various members of the crew, drawing them in my own artistic style that makes everyone an extremely horny bird version of themselves.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and just ask that I am off of this list. I'm just going to request
ahead and
I am off limits.
Take John off.
It's okay. I will keep you off the list, but I will keep this stopwatch here that I have set time for your 18th birthday.
Disgusting.
At which point I will draw a picture of you as an extremely horny bird.
Wait a minute. When did you make this stopwatch? Because it is it's been running for a while. There's a lot of sand in the bottom. And okay.
Wait, does he have one for each of us to know when it was
open,
okay?
Open your long trench coat all the way.
No. Now, my horny friend, I have something you might find quite delectable. Find me on the ship at sundown for a treat. A real treat.
Well, all right then. I will bring my pen and paper.
From one goopy fellow to another.
I like the bird pervert because he knows when we all were born, I assume. And based on his clocks of knowing when we turn 18, also probably when we're going to die.
Could we just get a clean take of I like the bird pervert?
Absolutely. I like the bird pervert.
Oh, thank you.
Do you want
that
again? One more time? I like the bird pervert.
One more time. Sorry, I muddied that up a little bit. Go ahead.
I like the bird pervert.
Okay. Can we do it one more time? I, Gable, like the bird pervert?
I, Gable, of the podcast Campaign Skyjacks, like the bird pervert.
And now maybe make up a silly name like Liz Anderson.
Oh, it's a very silly name. I, Liz Anderson, who plays Gable on the podcast Campaign Skyjacks, like the bird pervert.
Okay, I think we're good.
Scene. Yeah.
Living for that bird pervert.
Oh.
Campaign Skyjacks is a one-shot network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter at CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes.
And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy.
You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at Liz_... or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at Johnny in Briefs or on his podcast, Dilettante Ball. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my other podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this production was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find Arnie on Twitter at ArnePArrott. And you can find more of his work at ATPTunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at Casey Pony, spelled CaseyPoney, or on his own podcast, Neoscum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at Fiona Pup. The world of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and the card game Illimat, property of Together Studios. The game used in this production is a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system that was created by a talented group of game designers who were fired by a private equity firm owning Fantasy Flight Games. There are no kings. Take flight, heroes.
Health to the strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.